thinking of that song we just sang about salvation. It says, thank you, Lord, for thy great salvation, so full and free.
Amen.
And sometimes I think we forget that salvation isn't just getting to heaven or just forgiving our sins, but right. salvation is daily. The things we do daily, the things he keeps us from, how he restores our health. Every morning we wake up and have breath. And that's part of the salvation.
Amen.
You know, it is just so vast and it is so full that if we would just stop and think of all those things, we'd have a lot to be thankful for.
Right. So, I mean, we don't know how much God has done behind the scenes for us, you know. You know, like, you know, Penny, you were saying there earlier, you stopped the intersection, okay? And you pray for the vehicles coming through the intersection. Well, and who knows what God worked through you to help somebody, you know? And to them, they are just trying to get the donut shop before the next person or whatever, and they had no idea what God did through a prayer that we had, you know? And I believe... Right, yeah, because we don't know what God does. When you lay somebody on your heart to pray for them, you just pray and lift them up, you know, let God take it from there. But, you know, the salvation, that's the number one thing, because we actually, you know, what are we thankful this week for, especially? And I could tell you, well, I got a freezer full of deer meat, or I got gas in my car, which is all good stuff, you know. But just think about the salvation that we have, you know. And what I love about God, he's a covenant-keeping God. And even when we get mad at God, and we're not lovey-dovey with him, you know, he's still there with us, you know? He doesn't turn his back on us, you know? And he's kind of, okay, all right, Starkey, I'm waiting for you to come back around, you know? Didn't I tell you, Starkey, not to do that, you know? And I ain't listening to God. God's just waiting for me, you know? And once I swallow my pride and turn around and say, hey, God, yes, you're right. Awesome. That communication there with us, you know. We have a habit, if you make me mad, if I make Jack mad, he won't talk to me, my gosh. I mean, I'm just picking on you sitting there, okay. but God isn't that way, you know. And it's funny, even ourselves, if we have a separation in friendship or communication, it could be a family member, and it really breaks our heart. And so we keep praying, you know, Lord, just, you know, bring us back together. And the minute they make an outreach to you, you know, they call you on the phone, you know, what do they want this time? You know, we don't recognize the prayer that, you know, God's working on it, you know. So we just got to be ready for that, because... You know, Satan comes in, the number one thing is to destroy families. That's why he wants to separate families. And he knows all the right buttons to push in our life, or just the right memory to bring back to you, to keep you from receiving that forgiveness that someone comes to you with, or for you to, hey, forgive me, you know, I ran my mouth, I shouldn't have done it, you know. He always tries to find that thing. He loves turmoil, you know. He doesn't want us to come together as one. And the awesome thing is, as we walk with God, we see the tricks of the devil, and we try to learn from that. Amen. Amen. And you know, that's where we have to be more and more thick-skinned, I believe, to let things bounce off of it. You know, because you ever have a bad day? And anybody, you see, you know, you got a bad day going on, and go home, and Carol says, "How you doing? What's to you?" You know, I had apologized to the other day. It was over Chinese food. Is that I had one of them days, and it was just everything just boom, 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 boom. And I said, you know, let me know what number you want. You know, I don't know all those Chinese names and stuff. And let me know if you want number 5, 10, whatever it is. And so she sent me this list, and tell me what you want. I said, what number is it? Well, I don't know. I said, I told you to give me a number, you know. And I had nothing new with her. You know what I'm saying? And so I had, thankfully we weren't home, I get to text her, sorry, love you. And I brought home the right thing.
She asked how that sheep know what the number is. Right?
Yeah, that's why, you know, normally Chinese, if you ever order Chinese food, you know, eat Chinese food? What do you guys do with your cats? Yeah, oh, I love barbecue cat. I like the Siamese, no, but But when you call in, I'm not making fun of this, how it goes. Yeah, I like to have a number 7, please. Oh, okay, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Thank you, yeah, yes. And so I just had nothing to do with her. I texted her, man, it's not you. I just had one of them days, you know. So we all can be short, get short with one another, you know. And fortunately, I was down here. She was at home. So the time I texted her at home, she's okay. I know. Well, I broke her heart. I had no reason, you know, to be upset like that. But yeah, so I might be a pastor, but I'm still human. But is acknowledging your weaknesses and then going back and make amends with it, you know, because of course I did bring home a live cat in a bag and gave it to her. I said, "Fix your own today." No, I didn't, brother. Yeah. Oh, I was.
Because sin is fun. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't realize when we sin.
Yeah, sin's got a season that we enjoy it, yeah. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit. I was convicted before you even shut my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is your bride. What are you running? I mean, and it had nothing to do with her. You know, just one thing I was doing, guys, is working on Medicare. I got through it. Thank God. You know, I was talking to a lot of you guys in here and stuff. And I got online to get an appointment for somebody to call me. Yes, because if you guys been through that yet, it's like, okay. And I can make an appointment. There's none available till next year. I have the 7th of December to be done with it. Oh, man. So I kind of frustrated a little bit. I think, Carol, this is pray. God, give me the wisdom. I got to do the thing online. And what was it, 3.5 hours later? We got through it, and it's perfect. And, you know, he brought back the stuff you guys talked to me about, and other people you know, and I was able to choose the right program, and it's just awesome, okay? But I was frustrated when I talked to Carol, and it came out on her. And oh, you're right. I called her, I said, okay, I'm done. I got done, yeah. I said, 5:20, man, 3.5 hours. She said, 3.5? I said, yeah. Yeah, my clock's ahead of time, so. Yeah, amen. So, but just acknowledging that, you know, and being real for the Lord, and we got a lot to be thankful for, you know. You know, I'm thankful for those that you guys are witnesses to, but I thank you for Christ that lives in you. I thank you guys are real people, you know what I'm saying? Real people loving Jesus, perfect, no, but you don't give up, you know. You don't give up. And folks, if you ever find yourself falling away, don't ever be afraid to come back again. We've all been there before. We've all... And you know, Satan knows how to get in your head. He'll do is start watering things down. And but you know, you deserve this, you deserve that, you know? And so we recognize that. But we just don't give up, you know? You got a whole world out there need to know Jesus, you know. We have loved ones that need to know Him, right? And look, but don't be discouraged. Be thankful because you're living your life for the Master, you know. And you wanted a better life for yourself. God convicted that, right? And once you got convicted of it, then you want a better life for your children and your children's children, right? Amen. And maybe your children are grown now, okay? But that doesn't take away that desire you have for them and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, that you get to pray now. You get to intercede. The most powerful weapon in the whole universe of anything lives in you. That's your prayer life. Praying for the kids, living for the Master, you know? And that's what brought the pilgrims, you know? I know... every time we have Thanksgiving, most people go back to the pilgrims and they wear their little funny hats and stuff like that, you know. But you think what they had to do, I mean, they were living in England under a dictatorship. The king was the head of the church. Man. And finally, those people, they got fed up with it. And then we want to go someplace where we're going to worship God, you know. Because they were thinking, okay, maybe... I've only got 5 years left or 10 years left, but we got a generation coming behind us. We got children and children and children, and we want a better life for them. We want them to be able to worship God. So, man, we have to change things. Think about what it had to take. I mean, decide to get on the ships. I remember hearing of the Mayflower. Show them your ticket you had, huh? No. But they got to the point that they got so tired of the government overreach in their lives of worshiping God, and they know that only God can change a life, right? Only God can change our children, our children's children, okay? But God works through His people, right? But in this heart, they got, okay, we're done. We're going to go to this new land. We're going to go over there and worship God. We're going to be set free. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm not a historian, and Carol can help me out, because there's a couple of Indian names I got to talk about here in a minute. But I think they took off once and had to come back, didn't they? Didn't they take off once and had to come back? Yeah.
Yeah,
the speech were. Huh? The speech were, yeah. Amen. But think, you know, okay, we're going to go, okay, God, I know God's calling us, we're going to go to another country, we're going to worship Him, we're going to honor Him. So you get on this, speak well, yes, yes. I didn't glue, they're still too big in my mouth because I lost weight, but, okay.
You can understand my accent, we can understand.
Well, we'll just go to the Mexican restaurant if we get done to that, yeah. Finally, I'll get the right thing. But they went out, like, we're going to go, and they get in the ship, and they take it. Next thing, they had to come back.
Yeah.
Now, did they take the attitude, hey, we tried, must not be God's will, you know, because we tried it, so we're going to live here and under the king's law, and we're going to worship God the way He says we got to do that. No, God birthed a thing in their hearts to move. And boy, they didn't give up, and they did. Can you imagine taking your kids and little babies, whatever you had, get on this ship and say, we're going to find a new place. We are going someplace. We're going to worship God. We're going to honor God. And knowing the risk, they weren't thinking about themselves that much. They were thinking about the generations coming behind them. Something has to be done in our lives, or my kids and my kids' kids is going to be the same suppressed that I am. They're not going to know God as we should know God. They're not going to be able to worship God. So we just draw the line, I'm stepping over it, and I'm going to follow God. And loaded up the ship, and they took off. And they landed in Plymouth Rock. Wow. Think of that. How scary it is. They left family over there. Some of them are probably glad they went. All them religious nuts, all they do are complain about the king all the time. I'd be happy. I mean, this cathedral go in there and sit there and while they talk to you about God. That's good enough. But it wasn't for them. Their lives weren't changing. Their lives coming behind them wasn't changing. People sitting there wasn't changing. Say, hey, we're going to go. We're going to find a new place. Man, you're nuts. You got a farm. You got a business. You're going to walk away from that, man. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you if you're going to give all that up for God. If God wants something different, He did to you, right? No, He did. He put it right here in my heart. And He drew me to seek Him. I'm sorry that you don't agree with me. I'm sorry you can't see that. But I'm thinking about more than myself. I'm thinking about my family and the generation coming behind me. And we're going to the land. We're going to establish God at the head of that land. And we're going to worship Him. We're going to honor Him as He should be honored. They saw the same thing with the Egyptians and the Israelites. Suppressed. I mean, they were in slavery, okay? And they were crying out, God, rescue us, rescue us. And finally, the heart of Pharaoh was getting soft. He said, okay, listen, you go out there for 3 days, worship God, and do your burnt offerings, but then come back. No. It's going to be everything. It's going to be all God. We're not going to compromise. And we saw they didn't give up, continued crying out to the Lord, and God worked on their behalf. And when they left, they didn't say, hey, give us riches, give us money, give us gold, give us donkeys. No, we want freedom out here to honor God and to get our kids out of slavery. And God honored that. They got set free. We all know the story, all know the event. But when they left, look at all the gold and silver. God just blessed them 100%. This is 1,000 times. So they want to honor Him and say, okay, I taught my kids. They know better now. They know better now. Cried out to me. I rescued them after 400 years of slavery. I made them richer than anybody around there. You know, I showed my might. Woo-wee! Man, God said, yes, got you. And within 5 days, I was ready to go back to Egypt and back. Amen? Yes. But this is a pilgrim. So they are willing to put it all on the line to bring God to, you can say, bring God to America. And when they landed at Plymouth Rock, man, what an awesome time it must have been. new land. But see, God was already expecting them. God was? Well, yes. Does he know our days? Does he know the plans I have for you? Not to prosper, not to harm you, but to prosper you for your welfare. So they land on this rock, get out in this new world, like, wow. Can you imagine how beautiful it would have been? I mean, it's like, I can see the trees, there's no pollution. I think I thought they just stepped in the Garden of Eden, I would say. You know, I don't know, you guys might know history better. Maybe they stepped out on a beach and it's full of crabs, I don't know. You know, but in my mind, that's what I see. And you know, who does God send? You gotta tell me. And this one that could say, welcome. Where you went? Samoset, okay. He sent an Indian named Samoset. He knew a little bit of English. And can you imagine, here you are. You stepped out, you got your family and your friends and people with you. And you see this Indian coming toward you. Now, I don't know if they had Indians over in England this time or not. But can you imagine, he's coming, he got this cloth on, and you'd be kind of scared. Like, oh, what are we getting ourselves into? But God had already had him there. He knew a little bit of English. He walked up and said, welcome. Woo, can you imagine rejoicing going on there? Like, man, they're not our enemy. I mean, if it wasn't for God's people, let's put a different people there. They might have shot the guy before they got to him. He was coming to welcome them. Say, hey, you made it. Hey, or whatever. But they could have raised up inside and said, we would have destroyed the thing. Because this person is different than us. Or we would have get rid of him. Mm. But that's all he knew was welcome. Which is a good start. But if anything I knew in Spanish was welcome, and you asked me, what's for dinner today? Welcome. Hey, you want to go to town today? Welcome. You know, it gets old after a while, you know. Okay. But God knew that. First of all, he had a greeting party that welcomed him. But then he sent somebody else. Somebody else in his name. Squanto. Squanto. You all remember Squanto? I mean, all remember hearing about him? Yeah. But not yet. Okay. But he came and helped them settle in this new land. Think of it. At this time, we were there for God, to worship God and start a new place to raise our families at. Amen? And this Squanto, God already sent. He was a slave at one time for a Christian friar. For a friar, more like a slave or really attached to him, okay? So he knew about the Lord. He knew English. I can say he learned Christianity, and he was set free, came back there. Think of that. It's like God took Squanto out, put him over here with this friar, learned Christianity, become a Christian, learn English, and he didn't know, but I'm going to get you ready because, you know, I'm going to establish a new world, a new country for me. My folks are coming. He had no idea what God was doing. Put them back over here where you come from. And here come the pilgrims. Could you imagine when this next Indian came and he started talking fluent English and talking about the Lord? Oh, how peaceful it had to be. And being of God, we're all God's children. It was like, welcome. Hey, what we have is yours. Amen? And he started helping them. Preparing them. Winter times are coming. You got to learn how to grow your vegetables. You got to learn this. You got to learn that in this new land. Well, awesome. Back here in the old world, they left everything behind. They know they want to establish things for God. They want God in their life. They want to worship God. And they trust God. He says, seek me all your heart as the day you will find me. Draw closer to me, I'll draw closer to you. And sometimes we try to get closer to the Lord, we think, man, it's going to be kind of scary. It's going to be kind of scary. But he draws closer to us. As we want him, you know. And so here comes Squanto. And so let's get things ready now. We've got winter time coming. And he started teaching him how to grow maize or corn. Think of that. And one thing he taught them, something God had taught them, is using dead fish for fertilizers. Amen? I mean, I was going to fish with John Elkeberry. Anybody know John or not? But he'd always come home and skin the fish up and take all the leftover stuff out to our garden behind, we live at Hickory Flats, and plant them around every corn stalk and stuff. You know, wow. But right there again, something different. Now, can you imagine, as he's describing them, how to plant this corn and how to make it grow? Now, you take this fish now. You take this fish, and after you take the meat off of it, you take it and you bury it beside your maize there. I mean, what happened? Let's take the ladies for a second, okay? They take the fish and bury it. They ain't touching that thing. What do you mean? It stinks. Okay. But it works. This is good fertilizer. Trust me, I'm still alive. You have to, I ain't going to touch that. It stinks. Could you imagine what could have happened right then? If they refused to listen to the guidance of someone that God had already placed there, which they maybe didn't recognize that yet, but for their survival? If they would have refused to do the stinky thing, as they called it, they could have been wiped out right then. Nobody would have survived. But finally, somebody said, okay, we'll do it. And they raised their corn. They were able to survive. Now, they lost a third of them, I believe, during the first winter. But they came there to establish a place for God, a new world, knowing, man, some of us might not make it. We might lose some of us at sea. Don't want to. But those who came, man, and those who died, man, they're in the kingdom. Amen. They went home. But God used them to establish a new country. When we say this nation isn't a Christian nation, that's a lie. We are. We have our roots in God. He's still here. Amen. They made a covenant. So it makes me think, let's look at the Word of God. What is there right now in the Word of God that we might be failure to obey? We read the Word of God, that was back then. Is there something there that we would call stinky fish that we're not going to listen to, we're not going to obey, that we're not going to grow the way the Lord wants us to? Is there something there that we are doing which is meant for us to survive and to grow, that we're not allowing God's Word to work in our life? It's being detrimental. It's shortening our life. You know, that's the heart of a Christian. Okay, God, show me more, show me more. You know, like myself, 45 years, I'm not a perfect husband yet, getting close to it. But I want to be. But I want to be. Think of that. That stinky fish that they're handling, okay? If they refuse it, who would pay more of a penalty? Them or the generation coming behind them? The kids. You know? It could be like you said earlier, sin has a season. Hey, sin can be a lot of fun, right? I mean, I'll admit it could be. It was at one time. But man, thank God I got out of it before that price tag came. And that price tag is the wages of sin is death. Separation from God for eternity. And thank God that he redeemed me from that. See, I don't want my kids in that. Okay? I don't want my kids to be like I was. I want my kids to be spiritual like I am today, amen, because of the Master. But I don't want the kids to walk in the same footsteps I did when I was walking with the devil. And in order to change that, God had to change me. And He did. And my heart's desire is to honor Him. Okay? Can't go back and change my kids, but the Spirit and my kids they're doing great. And I don't really think something wrong with Ryan up here, okay? But through my prayer, my own sacrifice of the flesh, God can change my children. And we have to live our life with that attitude. It's not me living anymore. I died. I died to Starkey when I gave my life to Jesus. Christ lived through me. Help me change this world for you. I know my kids won't listen to me. That's okay, God. Send somebody across their path. The Bible says, pray for workers. Amen. Pray, and the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So pray to send more of the workers. So Lord, send them across my path of my children. But God, send across me the path of other people's children, that I may share the gospel to them and bring them out. You know, the difference there was they were willing to risk it all for a different life. And then that's what God wants us to be able to, wants us to do the same attitude, okay? Same attitude. It's sad though, as we got there, the pilgrims, and you saw all these beautiful trees, and you saw all the resources that God already had there for the Indians, and they were there, okay? And Christianity has started, And now he brought more Christians into it. He had all the resources there for his children. But what came behind us was greed, hatred. Kill the Indian. Take his land. I mean, I don't know. See, Satan never gives up. And he'll look at the blessing that God's given you and he'll come after them. And he'll come after them of everything he's got. Now, I'm just not talking about financial blessings with your family. He wants to, he come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. We got to remember that, okay? So our life living for the Lord is worth it. Even when you say, man, I don't know if I can go through another day. That just, stuff is ugly. That's okay. Call out to the Lord. Let him strengthen you. Get back in your prayer. Get back in the Word of God. He'll strengthen you. You'll realize the lion that's really inside of you. That through your prayers and your sacrifices, you're making a difference in the life of other people. Satan will try to get us to just look at ourselves. You know? Well, what's wrong with me, God? You know, he said, comparing yourself to other people. He wants to destroy you. And mentally, he wants to destroy you. He wants you to give up. Because you know how influential God is in your life. How much God influences other people through your life. How many people here are different today than you was before you met Jesus? Yeah, a couple of us are. The rest of us, we would get back to the Bible and grab the cross because as we walk with the Master, we're different today. You know, he's changing us. But we got to just make sure that we are allowing him total access to us. Because he is worthy to be praised this morning. Amen? Amen. And we look at the scriptures and we see all that he says, all it means to be a follower of him, all the blessings that we get for his glory. Then we see what happens to those who do not come into his kingdom, those who reject him. You know, it's not a good thing. But I have a thing, and I know my wife, she gets tired of hearing it probably, but and some of you heard it before, a couple things is always traditional at Thanksgiving Day. I want to share them, but talk about them just for a couple minutes. Because to me, I think it really describes what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a witness to people. But sometimes, even though you witness people, you get their attention, they might start walking with the Lord. Amen? Then we get that relaxed state, and we kind of sit down. And next thing, they might be drifting away a little bit. So, again, some of you heard this before. You're saying, okay. Well, I got two things, and again, it's comical, I understand. But it has such a message to it. And it talks about being a turkey, okay? And I want you to follow along with me, but at the same time, you might have heard it before, but let the Lord bring it into a spiritual, let him speak to you at the same time, into your spirit too. That way you'd be ahead of me probably. It says, when I was a young turkey, new to the coop, my big brother Mike took me out on the stoop. Then he sat me down and he spoke real slow and told me there was something I had to know. His look and his tone I will always remember when he told me of the hours or the horrors of Black November. Come about August, now listen to me. Each day you'll get 6 meals instead of just 3. And soon you'll be thick where you once were thin in your gray rubber thing under your chin. And then one morning, when you're warm in your bed, it'll burst the farmer's wife and hack off your head. Then she'll pluck out all your feathers so you're bald and pink and scoop out all your insides and leave them lying in the sink. And then comes the worst part. He said, not bluffing, sure spread your cheeks and pack your rear of stuffing. Well, the rest of the words were too grim to repeat, and I sat on the stoop like a winged piece of meat. I decided on the spot that to avoid being cooked, I'd have to lay low and remain overlooked. I began a new diet of nuts and granola, high roughage salad, juice, and diet cola. And as they They ate pastries, chocolates, and crepes. I stayed in my room doing Jane Fonda's tapes. Well, I maintained my weight to 2.5 pounds and tried not to notice when the Bicker Brewers laughed. But 'twas I who was laughing under my breath as they chomped and they chewed ever closer to death. And sure enough, when Black November rolled around, I was the last turkey left in the entire compound. So now I'm a pet in the farmer's wife's lap. I haven't a worry, so I eat and I nap. She held me today while serving, sewing and humming, and smiled at me and said, "Christmas is coming." Oh my. And it just reminded me, you know, ourselves, or maybe we heard the gospel. People say, listen, the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever. We turn from our sins, and we find every other way of trying to avoid paying that penalty of our sins by doing things that we think, oh, this will take care of it. You know, giving money here, or giving money there, or doing all kind of stuff. Or we come to the Lord, we hear the warning, and yes, we turn to the Lord. But then what happens? We get kind of relaxed in our walk with Him. And the next thing you know, we don't notice it, but we're falling right back where we were before He came into our life. And that's what this turkey was doing, you know? Heard all this thing about Black November and stuff, and said, man, I'm not going to die, they're going to eat me. But the minute that he thought he was safe, he was eating the same thing that was going to put him to death back in November. He never heard about Gray's December, I guess, you know? And the same way our life today is the sin that God rescued us from, that Jesus found us in, and he brought us up out of it. That sin is still does the same thing. That sin wages is still the same. It hasn't changed any, you know. And if we get relaxing right back into that sin and stay there thinking, well, you know, I'm under the blood, God rescued me. He rescued us. But He gave us the strength to overcome these temptations. And if we ever give up and just embrace sin and say, I don't care what the Word of God says, I'm going to live here anyway, the same wages come back on there, and God doesn't want that. And the other tradition I do here, and I'll speak on that momentarily, but it is the one that I thought everybody in school sang. I really did. I thought the people... in our school at Fresno, we sang it, and I sang it the first time here years ago, and no one knew the song, and I was devastated. Like, okay, my whole sermon that Sunday was based upon this song, and nobody knew it. But you gonna sing it with me, Mom? Okay, here it goes, and this is back in second grade. It says, a turkey sat on the backyard fence, and he sang a sad, sad tune. Thanksgiving Day is coming, gobble, 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 and I know I'll be eating soon. Gobble, 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 I think I'll run away. Gobble, 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 I don't like Thanksgiving Day. Okay? And it's funny, but then when we talk about the turkey sitting on the backyard fence, okay, he's sitting there and he's looking over here in the barnyard, and they already told him all the things going to take place. Someday the farmer's wife's come out with an axe and chop off your head. If you stay here, you know, they're going to feed you. But he's looking at all the other animals in the barnyard, and they're telling him, you got to watch this. But we got to realize the hog is going to be put to death, right? The cow is going to be put to death. The chicken, you know, eventually they're going to be... So death is in the barnyard. If they stay in that condition, they're going to die. But for some reason, they're telling the turkey, they're going to chop off your neck. They're going to eat you. And he is so scared. You think for a moment, he would look at him and say, well, how about you? You look at this 400-pound hog. They're going to eat you too? Ah. So he's not sure what to do. So he gets and sits on this fence. Now, back in the barnyard is death. He knows that. Off to the right is freedom. The turkey sat in the backyard fence. Now, freedom's scary. It is scary. There's no one over there right now. There's no one out there in that field. Okay, I don't see no one there. But man, I don't want to die. But then he looks back over here and sees all his friends. Now, he's thinking, now, if this death is really true, if living in this barnyard is really going to get my head chopped off, even though I love the food they feed me, why wouldn't they be leaving also? Why are they telling me all these bad things are going to happen to me? I bet you they must be pulling my leg. Because it's really not going to happen. Because if it was, they wouldn't be there. They'd be breaking down the fence. They'd be getting out of there right now. Getting out. And this turkey sat there back and forth. Now, where should he go, guys? Jump that fence and keep on going, right? We know that. But look at the power of the friends that he had in that barnyard. See, they were preaching one thing. You better go. They're going to eat you up. They're going to chop you up. It's death in here. You better go. Yeah, go. But he's looking back and saying, wait, listen. If this is really true, why are they there? I would say, you know, maybe next year I should do this, write the next verse of that song. So I jumped off the fence and went back to the barnyard. I'm sitting on the Christmas dinner plate. You know what I'm saying? But it makes us think about our own walk. It's easy to say, man, listen, get out of your sin. You know, if the wages of sin is death. Understand that. Oh, God died for your sins. Man, repent. But here I am living in my sins. Okay? If you're so fanatic that sin is sin and it causes your eternal death, separation from God, why are you still living your sin? Our voices carry a lot of weight, but our actions carry more. Amen? You got to realize that. Now, I think that turkey was running across the empty field, and yeah, that pig jumped the fence too. You know, when pigs fly, you know what I'm saying? Woo! And them cows. But they stayed in the same area. It's going to bring death to them. And maybe they didn't recognize it. Maybe they didn't recognize it because it's getting close to Thanksgiving. I mean, the beef, Marty, how long beef? A couple of years before you butcher sometimes? Okay. So they might have went through a couple of Thanksgiving. They seen this old turkey, there's a lot of turkeys come and go, you know what I'm saying? Hogs used to be about 90 days, 120 days to fatten them up, roughly. Okay. So they seen a lot of hogs go back, you know, disappear. So maybe they weren't really sure about it. But I'll tell you what I've seen. Okay. We can get the same way. We can look at these bad sins in the world and say, man, I'm telling you what, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Man, look what they're doing. They're going to hell. But we can back here in our own sin. Lying, cheating, stealing, stealing God's glory, whatever it might be. And not recognize that, man, the wages of sin is separation from God. Now and for eternity. And we're trying to try to everybody else say, listen, you got to go. And look at you, say, really? That same list of fornicating is the same thing with lying. That thing of adultery, okay, it's the same thing as gossiping. Homosexuality isn't the same thing of blasphemy, you know what I'm saying? But people will look at us to really believe it. Do we really believe in what we share? You know, is Jesus the number one thing in our life? Do we really want to honor Him, you know? And if we stay, embrace sin in our life, well, the Bible says if we go on sinning once we hear the truth, there's nothing else coming along our way to rescue us. Okay, so what He's saying is this, is that if you call upon the Lord to be your Savior and Lord, but you still continue to stay in sin. You know sin, but you stay in it. What are you saying? There's nothing God can do for you. If you die like that, you're not going to heaven. Meaning this. He died for all sins. If we keep one sin that we hang on to, we want to keep it. Okay, you're not born again. He's not saying you can't repent from it. Understand that, okay? Don't ever get confused on that, okay? But if I'm born again, I'm following the Master, I fall into sin, and the same blood covers me, amen? If I repent, come back to Him, boom. But He's saying, if I want to embrace this sin, I say, God, I understand Your Word, I know what it is, but I'm staying right here with this, I am not getting it up. He's saying, okay, there's no other sacrifices coming your way. There's not going to be another Jesus coming on this earth to die for your sins. He already died for all sins. Now, we receive that in turn from them, or we're going to miss out because there's no other sacrifices coming, is what he's saying. Don't think that he's saying that you cannot repent from and turn back to him. Amen? You follow me on that? Any questions on that? I don't want to mislead anybody. Penny? You follow me? Okay, you kind of look at me. Okay. I thought you think, which sin can I have then? No, just kidding. Right, yeah. And so again, examine ourselves. Have we been sitting on the fence of some areas? Have we been wanting the freedom that God offers us? Hating a sin that was controlling us, but looking back into the barnyard and thinking, well, you know, they were pretty good people. Yeah, I want to miss it. I'm telling you, the minute that turkey would get off the fence and start running across that open, I see an open field. Maybe you guys see streets. I don't care. Whatever you want to see. The farther he gets away from the barnyard, the less pressure he's going to have to go back. Now, he might get out there in the middle of the night. Man, I don't have no friends yet. I don't have any friends yet. He might start thinking about the barnyard. But I'm telling you, as you step up for the Lord and you take off after him, he will send somebody in your path. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. Just like you had the Indians. I can't remember their names. Thank you. Already there, before they got there, they had to have in their hearts that, yes, we're going to establish a new world for our children, for ourselves. We're going to honor God. They had to have that in their hearts. And when they got there, God was already there waiting for them. And same with us. We step out and we say, I'm done with that. I'm going away from it. God's already got somebody in your path there to help you, to strengthen you. As we have a heart for him. And we just got to stay out of the barnyard. You know, because the barnyard is a bad place to be if you're going to be an animal. Amen? Amen. I will keep my eyes open, though. In case somebody in the barnyard escaped, I'd be there to welcome them in, you know what I'm saying? But can you imagine stepping back into the barnyard? I'm going to visit my old friends. And you didn't realize the calendar and there's a turkey set back there the night before Thanksgiving? Shoop! Not saying you wouldn't be going to heaven, but you're going a little bit sooner than you want to be. Amen? Amen. So, but that's my turkey song today. But that's God's message today. Just make sure we're not on the fence. People are watching this, you know, for his glory. And be encouraged on that. And pray for one another. Pray for one another. Be strengthened. So, any questions? Any barnyard questions or anything like that? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you can even use a turkey to bring forth the gospel. I guess in this case, you use two of us, huh? But Father, we thank you for the strength we get when we look at your word. But God, when we look at one another, when we see our brothers and sisters continue with you, Lord, even through tough times, as we hang on to your word, Father, we know that it all brings you glory. We don't understand how it does at times, but we just trust you, Lord, as we become more and more dependent upon you, God, that you'll be glorified and more people will be rescued. But Lord, also for us, that more and more of your peace will take place in our life. More and more strength, more and more determination, more and more love. God, that we'll see people more and more through your eyes, and we'll love them through your heart, and listen to them through your ears, and speak to them through your words, Father. Oh, we thank you so much, Lord. We just ask in the coming days and weeks, Lord, just guide us, Holy Spirit, with your perfect will, that we know that wherever you place us at, it's either there for us or we're there for others. And let us see the difference, Lord, and not take our eyes off of you. We continue to lift up our nation today, Lord. We thank you for this country. We thank you how it's established and how you are involved in our life. In this country, God, we thank you for the covenant you made with us. And Lord, we continue to proclaim your word, God, that this is one nation under God. We are a Christian nation. And we just pray for those today in darkness. We pray for their eyes to be open, Lord. We pray for those who are doing evil today, Father God, that they be removed, whether it be from power over us or over this nation, God. Be removed from the power, but may their hearts be softened. And God, through your judgment, through your word, they be convicted of sin. And they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We thank you more and more for revealing the truth to us. Thank you, God, for all you do. God, we know you hear the cries of your people. So let us always remember when things have got to get more and more difficult or ugly, it's you showing us where the problem was and lay upon our heart to remove that problem through prayer and through all the ways that you give us, Lord. God, we lift up our families today and our children's children, Lord, our siblings today, Father. We thank you, God, for the influence that you had in our life that's influencing their lives. We thank you for our children's children who are our inheritance. We have a good inheritance. We just place the blood of Christ over them, Lord, and declare that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that they're part of us and the authority you've given us, and they will be counted upon the numbers in heaven, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for all things. We continue to lift up Haiti today, Afghanistan, all our brothers and sisters here and abroad, Father God, to be strengthened, to stand up boldly, share the gospel, and God, may your love penetrate the hearts of those who are coming against us and against you, that they'll recognize their need for you and the love that you have for them, Lord. And Father, we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.